This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today, we're looking back over the last 3 years of fighting in Ukraine and asking the question, will the war finally end? With a new administration in the White House, many hoped that Russia and Ukraine would finally be able to come to the table and hammer out a peace deal. One that would stop the war that has so far claimed the lives of an estimated 800,000 Russian soldiers and 80,000 Ukrainian soldiers. The number of those wounded is far greater. An enormous amount of money has also been spent on both sides at a time when inflation has run rampant around the globe. Now, 3 years in, we have to take another look at what both sides want. According to a study from Harvard, Russia and its leader, Vladimir Putin, are looking to stop Ukraine from joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, also known as NATO. That study also claims that Putin wants to cancel the deployment of weapons near the Russian border and return NATO's military facility to the positions where they were at the time of the 1997 Russia-NATO Act. But this might be hard to achieve. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has made joining NATO a top priority for his country. Over the weekend, Zelensky even said that he would be willing to resign from his post if it meant achieving peace. However, the caveat was that a NATO membership would have to be on the table. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., President Trump has continued to be vocal about the war, going as far as to criticize Ukraine for the invasion of Russia and infer that they were the aggressor, which has had many people scratching their heads. Joe Lindsley from the Ukrainian Freedom News joined Odyssey to give an on-the-ground update on the war in Ukraine.
Joe Lindsley is the reporter, the founder of Ukrainian Freedom News. He is an American living in Ukraine since before the pandemic, since before this war started. He has chosen to stay there and not only report boots on the ground from Ukraine, but also share truths and be an activist and help support the cause to keep Ukraine free from invasion from Russia. And Joe, first of all, I'm just so glad to always hear your voice on this show. So thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jordana, greetings from Kyiv. And it's quite an intense time. And in some ways, it almost feels like those first weeks of this war in 2022. They were almost going back to the basics, and you know, Ukraine has to make the almost basic case once again with Washington. Right now, as I said, I'm talking to you from Kyiv. Last night, we had a lot of Russian drone activity over Kyiv. It was one of the most intense nights I've heard in Kyiv in the past several weeks. And so while these so-called negotiations are happening in Saudi Arabia, the Russians continue. In fact, they're increasing some of their attacks upon Ukrainian cities. The city of Odessa was hit very heavily. And I will share with you what I was writing about in the Hill. The headline is Ukraine is stronger than Trump realizes, and here's the evidence. But I also have to note that we just saw this about an hour ago, a message from Trump online against Zelensky. And this is the harshest he's ever been. And to put you in the context of the situation here, I spent the past several days at a secret conference of Ukrainian and foreign innovators. It was really an incredible thing, and we can't really talk about it until next week. I can't give you too many details because we're in a war, and everything, you know, everyone here who's trying to fight, which is pretty much the entire country, is always subject to some kind of Russian attack. But I was at a secret conference with people who have done incredible things with very little resources, making amazing drones and anti-drone technology. And there's a lot of Americans and Europeans and people from Japan and all over the world who come here to share their expertise and to learn from the Ukrainians. And as I was at this conference, and then I saw the news of what President Trump was saying, it made me very sad, because as I look at what's happening with what Elon Musk is doing with Doge and trying to make the government more efficient, very often in the past weeks, they talk about all the waste in the Pentagon. And if you came here to Ukraine, if they were with me in that room tonight here in Ukraine, they would have been so inspired by all the solutions that you see here, how to make military equipment at a very, you know, low cost, and actually much better and more adaptive to the needs of the frontline guys. And that's what I see here. It's like the soldiers are talking with the developers and talking with investors, and everything kind of comes together in this wonderful ecosystem. And you know, there's this attitude now in Washington that we need to fix our lethargic, bloated government. Mm-hmm. And they know how to delete things, but they don't know how to build. And if they came here to Ukraine, they would see the answer. And so it's such a jarring juxtaposition for me to walk out of that conference and then to see this note from Trump. You know, really, he's never attacked Zelensky in this way. He's always tried to say some nice words about him. And now he's saying that you know, Zelensky has kept the war going, that Zelensky is keeping the quote-unquote gravy train going. And one thing that Trump said in this message, Zelensky admits that half of the money we sent to Ukraine is missing. And, you know, Jordana, you and I have talked about this a lot these past 3 years. You know, that was probably, it was a mistake of translation. So what he was pointing out when he made that comment about the missing money, that out of all the billions that Americans think went to Ukraine, most of that stayed in the United States. It went to buy new weapons for America. So as America sent old unused weapons to Ukraine, the Pentagon said, okay, we need to replace these weapons, which they were going to do anyway, whether or not there was a war here. And so Ukraine sort of gets blamed for all the new research and development and the new weapons being made in the U.S. It gets tacked into the Ukraine bill. And so that's what President Zelensky meant by the missing money, that it's actually, you know, a lot of it stays in the U.S. And moreover, a lot of it is simply the valuation of old weapons that the Ukraine gets. And all has been completely twisted and contorted this latest message from Trump. And so it's a bit of a shock here for everyone in Ukraine, I would say.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Since returning to office, Trump has made ending the fighting in Ukraine a priority for his second term. However, his recent remarks about the war have been a bit confusing and confounding for many observers who have been left wondering, which side is he supporting? Trump has said that part of Ukraine may be Russia someday, that Zelensky has done a terrible job, and he even went as far as to call Ukraine's leader a dictator. It is important that we note that Ukrainian law prevents elections during times of martial law, which the country is under. As far as peace talks are concerned, Trump is pushing for them, but he also said that Ukraine doesn't need a seat at the table with Russia. His reasoning was that Zelensky has, quote, no card left to play. Colonel David Hunt joined Odyssey to share more on what impact Trump's words can have.
Colonel, I listened to the president, the vice president, secretary of defense, national security advisor, and not one of them is willing to say this, Colonel. Not one is willing to say that Russia invaded Ukraine. Not one is willing to say Russia started this conflict, which began 3 years ago today. As a man who served this country incredibly well, what is your reaction when you hear that?
I'm very disappointed. We have to remember that this all starts after the Winter Olympics in 2012 or 13. Russia invades Crimea, then invades Ukraine in 2014. So the Ukrainians have been fighting since 2014. I know we all think about the last 3 years because of the massive size of the attack by the Russians. But there is no possibility, no rational human being can discuss Ukraine without saying Russia started this. Russia invaded them. Russia's lost almost 900,000 soldiers. The only thing I can think of is because President Trump has always been pissed off at Zelensky and Ukraine for, get impeached because of him. And now he's trying to end the war and want to blame Ukraine for anything except defending themselves is beyond me. It's ridiculous, and everyone you mentioned, job is at stake if they disagree with the president. So
yes, exactly.
What you get is people, some of the people you mentioned, two of them served in the military during this war.
Yeah, right.
And can't, one special forces, they both have combat infantry badges. They both served extremely well and can parrot back what you just said. It's absolutely ridiculous, inane babbling to suggest anything except Ukraine back in 2000, Russia back in the 2012, 2013 started this. So it's disappointing at best.
Where do you think we're potentially heading with this minerals deal? You know, this has been on the discussion point for the president when he was running. He didn't cite minerals as much, just some sort of financial compensation back to the United States. The reporting is that we want up to $500 billion over a period of time back in minerals from Ukraine for our support. For the money, which was okayed by the previous administration and by Congress, combination, and that Zelensky's saying this is utterly ridiculous, but there's going to be some deal on minerals. To what level, I don't know. What, as someone who not only was a part of history but studied history, what is your read on that deal if we head that way?
By the way, it's rare earth minerals. It's outrageous. Yep. I mean, we are the most important, the biggest country, in the world. I mean, we are the world leaders. And you can't go around saying, look, if I'm going to help you, you're going to give me a 5-to-1 ratio on feedback, money back. I know everyone wants to defend this as the art of the deal. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's absolutely embarrassing. We have to be, by the way, honest about all this. While the U.S. has given more military aid to Ukraine, yes, but the total aid package, Europe has outpaced. It's not just the U.S. doing this. But you can't have our president telling another country that the aid I gave you, I want it 5 times back. Yeah. It makes no sense. It's like I'm going to invade Greenland and Panama, and I want all the rare earth minerals from Ukraine. I don't know where to. There's just so many things being thrown against the wall to see if it sticks. My problem with all this is Congress is being run over at the same time. So these things have to have some kind of shelf life, but it's ridiculous. I don't know what else to say.
When you look back at how the former commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, handled this, and now you have the hindsight of that, because we're talking a lot about Trump, but anytime a current president steps in, he inherits part of the decision-making by the former president. What is a fair appraisal in your mind of the way Biden responded from the start of the invasion until he left office a little more than a month ago?
Well, I appreciate the amount of money that was given, but military aid and humanitarian aid. I thought that the Biden administration slow rolled the aid package to Ukraine. I thought it should have been much faster with the M1 tank, much faster with the F-16s, much faster with lifting the restrictions that the weapons we were giving them could go into Russia. And even now, it's still limited. So I thought, yeah, you helped them, but it could have done a lot more. But look, from my standpoint, we're killing Russians for cheap money. There are no U.S. soldiers involved in this. Those are Ukrainians flying planes and driving tanks and digging ditches. So for me, it's cheap to kill that many Russians through Ukraine. But I thought the Biden administration today could have done a lot more, a lot faster.
This is Colonel David Hunt. 29 years of brilliant military work for our country in so many key areas. What can you tell us, sir, about your sources, about the status of the war right now?
I got a couple of still good ones there. Ukraine has done a remarkable job in defending. What we have to start, though, with is that 20% of Ukraine has been taken about by Russia. And my fear is the Ukrainians are doing a great job defending. They've made millions of drones, and they're going to make millions more. They've changed the nature of warfare from the use of drones, something we need to catch up on. But the problem is that sounds like we're rushing to get this peace deal. And my concern is they're going to draw a line where they stop now, which gives Russia 20% of Ukraine. That's a bad mistake. So the Ukrainians are doing a lot better, but the total, I mean, you've got to understand, we have to understand that the Ukrainians have lost probably 700,000 soldiers, and the Russians have probably lost about 900,000. And that's horrific. That's over a million soldiers in Europe that have died. And we're not counting since the war has been in 2014. I think we're counting in the last 3 years. That's staggering.
Not only has Trump been publicly critical of Zelensky and Ukraine, but he's also been working to strike a deal that would see the nation provide the U.S. with rare earth minerals for assistance in stopping the fighting. So, what does that mean when it comes to potential peace in the region? And how does the world outside of the U.S. feel about Trump's moves? Jeff McCausland, CBS News military analyst, joined Odyssey to provide an update on Trump's comments and how they could play a role in peace talks.
Thanks for joining us again, Jeff. What do you read into this? What does this mean?
Well, in terms of the ongoing dispute between Mr. Trump and Mr. Zelensky, the problem may be that we may see the United States move away from our support, not only for Ukraine in this conflict with Russia and the Russian invasion, but also perhaps the United States now suggesting it's going to move away from really 75 years of our alliance with our European allies, if in fact we're going to align ourselves much more closely with the Russians and accept some of their arguments that, for example, as Mr. Trump said, that Ukraine had started this war. In fact, Mr. Zelensky is a dictator.
I mean, you're starting from basically falsehoods. This is rewriting history. What is this doing to our allegiances? What are we hearing from the international community?
Well, the international community is very concerned, and we've had an emergency meeting hosted by President Macron in Paris of European leaders, including the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the Prime Minister and Chancellor of Germany, and others. And it reverberates into Asia as well. We saw the Japanese Prime Minister, as the situation was deteriorating, come to the United States, concerned about trade, but also concerned about American security guarantees. And there's no question about this, that the Chinese will watch this very closely. And I think they will interpret if the United States is willing to walk away from its security commitments to Ukraine and security commitments to Europe, than the prospects of them making an aggressive move against Taiwan and not seeing an American response just have gone up. And that will worry our allies all across Europe, South Koreans, Japanese, as I mentioned, Filipinos, and others.
Jeff, one of the things that interested me about what the president had to say was Zelensky, quote, started a war that he could not win, which we know he didn't start. But talk about in military history, when you're a weaker opponent, you don't have to win. You just have to not lose for a long time.
Well, that's very true. And many people in Ukraine right now, and I've talked to some in the last couple of days, believe that, you know, the Russians are in a lot worse shape than I think many people imagine, or that Mr. Putin seems to posture. They've had over 700,000 casualties. They've lost thousands and thousands of pieces of equipment, tanks, armored troop carriers, et cetera. So now, in terms of their offensives on the ground, they're using T-55 tanks that were built in the 1960s, pickup trucks, four-wheelers, as part of what we would call a mechanized advance, because they just can't replace the troops rapidly enough. They're being killed every single day. It's perhaps 1,000 soldiers killed or wounded every single day. Russian economy is suffering 9% or higher inflation rate, 21% interest rates, which is starting to have an effect on the Russian economy. So the Russians are in pretty difficult straits in some ways. And many Ukrainians said, you know, if we can hold out until the summer, the whole picture may be very, very different, and the Russians might be a lot more willing to make concessions. So far, at least, in terms of concessions, we've made concessions. Mr. Trump said Ukraine will not go into NATO. That was reiterated by the Secretary of Defense. They said that Ukraine must give up territory. That's a concession. And so far, the Russians have absolutely made no suggestion of any concession beyond their maximalist beliefs that they have stuck with since the day of the invasion, of basically taking control of all Ukraine.
Some Americans may be wondering why we care so much about a conflict that's half a world away. In a report titled Dollars and Cents, America's Interest in a Ukrainian Victory, experts from the American Enterprise Institute lay it all out. They explain that if Ukraine loses, Russia would advance farther into Europe, forcing the U.S. to surge its presence in Europe, where many of our allies are. That would require an estimated increase of $808 billion in defense spending over 5 years. In an interview, one of the experts added that a Russian victory in Ukraine would also be a victory for Iran, China, and North Korea, and it would allow Russia to rebuild its army. And another reason to be worried about a Russian takeover of Ukraine is a potential wave of refugees into Europe that would further destabilize the continent. Alternatively, the experts said a commitment to Ukraine and the conclusion of the war would result in a vibrant and free Ukraine. It would also have a newly modernized and battle-tested military, as well as a thriving industrial base, which would help stabilize Europe instead of the other way around. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.